Everyone in attendance, please silence your cell phones before we get started. Good morning, everyone. It is March 30, 2023. It's 10:03, and the special meeting is on. Our quorum is present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, let's get down to business here. Item number three is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for March 30, 2023 special meeting. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's agenda?
No questions or comments, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number four, which is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment this morning? All right, not seeing any public comment. We're going to move on to item number five, which is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And as we always do, we're going to start off with the Sheriff's Office.
Eric Kern, Assistant Sheriff, 40 County Sheriff's Office.
Thank you. Moving right along to the Fire Department. Chief Monkar. All right. I'm just going to skip whoever's not here. Does Laura have an update?
No.
How about Honey Menifee, Community Relations? Anything?
I don't think it was fine.
Wonderful. Emergency Management. Comptroller's Office.
I have nothing at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. How about Human Resources, Mitzi Carter?
I have nothing to report, sir.
All right, thank you, Mitzi. How about the DA's office?
Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. How about the County Manager's office?
Nothing, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Is everybody feeling okay?
must not be doing much.
I'm telling you, you guys are just sitting around. Clerk Treasurer's office.
Nothing today, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you. All right. Back on to item number six is board comments. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or statements for us today?
No comments or statements today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. I don't have anything either. Moving us on to item number seven, which is discussion for possible action. Update, discussion, and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to the following and other properly related matters: AB 63, the I-80 Safety Corridor, SB 81, Regional Orderly Growth, AB 143, the Land Transfer Bill, AB 47, OHV Bill, excuse me, SB 92, Sidewalk Vendors, SB 304, NFPA mandates, and any legislative bill, BDR, bill resolution, or other action of the legislature or government of the state of Nevada causing SB1 or other post-tax abatement revenues from Tesla or other tax-abated or non-tax-abated companies to be canceled, diverted away from Story County, redistributed, postponed, or extended, and other properly related matters. County Manager.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. I'm going to start off with Senate Bill 432. Before I do, I ask if there's a statement that anybody wants to make before I begin into this one.
Yes, please. Thank you, Austin. Mr. Chairman, Lance Gilman here. Regarding SB 432, and per the direction from our county district attorney, it's been suggested that I hereby recuse from any discussions or voting on this particular agenda item or this particular bill item, in as much as I hold a pecuniary interest in some of the subject matter included in the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance.
Okay. Austin? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So Senate Bill 432 was introduced roughly about 7 o'clock at night this Monday, and it's sponsored by Senator Gansert from Washoe County. What this bill would do is take any type of an abated company that becomes in a post-abatement matter after their abatements expire, any company that's worth $1 billion or more and receives tax abatements under SB 1, that those monies that Story County would receive would instead be redistributed to others, a good portion of them. So what would happen under this bill is a joint powers authority would be created, and that joint powers authority would take 60% of Story County's property taxes and sales taxes and others that are coming from that company, would send them over to an impact account that joint powers authority would determine what to use it for, as far as housing, transportation, power, water, wastewater, every type of municipal system that you can imagine. And that joint powers authority would determine what would happen with that money. And each year that money would accrue in that account and would just be used for that purpose. And then 20% of the money that Story County would receive would then go to economic development at the statewide programs. And then the remaining 20% of Story County's revenues would go to Story County and be remitted back to them. The Joint Powers Authority would consist of two members appointed in Story County, and then there would be five members appointed in. It's a statewide bill, so whatever county or counties are allegedly impacted by the county that has the $1 billion program going or project, in our case would likely be three would be in Washoe County, and perhaps one could be in Lyon County because employees are living in Fernley. The distribution of the membership of this board would be determined on population of the employees working at the factory causing the alleged impacts. So the distributions in a real model could look like, but this is an estimate, it's just a model, it doesn't actually, don't worry about the numbers at this point, but Story County could be getting roughly up to $19 million a year from the Gigafactory 1 post-2024. This formula would bring that down to about $3.8 million. The fire district would get about $6 million under the current program and would be getting about $1.2 million respective to that amount if it were to get 20%. Take note, though, that these are gross numbers. When you look at the net, when you actually look at our obligations, our tri-payback, and our infrastructure, other obligations we have to pay back, this 19 and 6 could easily turn into 8 and 2. And at that point, there would be almost nothing left. So just kind of think about that. So at this point, there's other things that the bill doesn't account for, is the tri-payback, the water and sewer debt that we have, the tax increment area for the affluent pipeline, that could potentially be $23 million. The future obligations that we have, not to mention the $157 million of CIP infrastructure for critical things that we have in the first 5 years, the $600 million total 10-year CIP, a lot of those items being things like the water and sewer systems and roads and critical infrastructure, not necessarily, community centers and things like that. So at this point, Story County made an investment 10 years ago, knowing that we were going to defer property taxes and sales taxes for this gigafactory for 10 and 20 years, and that it was going to result 10 years from that period of time in revenues that would come to the county that would enable it to take care of problems it's had since the 1800s and be able to play some catch up here, and now that situation is at risk. I want to remind folks that all of these materials, media releases, white papers, fiscal short papers, all kinds of other information that we're preparing and working on is posted at the Story County Manager's website. You can just go to storycounty.org and then go to the County Manager's site, and then there's a portal in there which this is all located. So at this point, I welcome any discussions and where we want to go. I'm going to ask for direction. Also, Keith Loomis has been really involved in this as well, and appreciate it. Come on.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. I wanted to highlight a couple other things out of the bill. One of the provisions says that if you take the projected abated amount of revenue and divide that by the number of years of the abatement, that gives you the yearly average for the abated amount. And the obligation of the county is to give that amount of money to the Department of Taxation. To the extent that the revenues exceed that yearly average amount, that does not have to go to the Department of Taxation. That would stay with the county. Now, I'm going to use a couple different figures from what Austin was using. I'm using some figures from the 2014 analysis that was done by Applied Analytics. And what they had indicated was that approximately, and this is for property tax alone, only property tax, they had estimated that the value of the abatements was about $349 million. If you divide that by the 10-year period of the property tax, that would work out to about $34 million a year. That's the amount that the county would have to give to the Department of Taxation. The remaining would stay with the county. There are similar provisions for the modified business tax and for the sales and use taxes, but the sales and use taxes and the modified business tax won't be abated until 2034, so there's some time before that happens. Another aspect of the bill is that if a county created an ordinance that created what they refer to in the bill as a special district, which is the economic diversification district that we did create, that once the department, and the way that works is there are a variety of sales taxes that go to the Department of Taxation now. Those sales taxes are then transmitted to the county, and the county reimburses the lead participant in the qualified project, in this case Tesla, with the amount of those taxes. Under the bill, once the obligation of the state to no longer transmit those taxes to the county, those monies would go to the Department of Taxation to be utilized for the mitigation fund and distributed in accordance with the bill. So what's kind of interesting about that is it really creates a disincentive for anybody to create an economic develop a diversification district, because at least we'll keep our own tax monies. Now, the bulk of that tax money is really state sales tax, but the county has about a 3/4 cent interest in it for our economic development diversification district. And one of the things I'd like to highlight is, you know, this is in perpetuity. It doesn't just last for 5 years or 10 years. This is a permanent diversion of tax revenues away from the county and to these regional powers authorities. There's no point in which it's going to end, at least not under the present bill. In creating the regional powers authorities, the GOED is required to make an analysis of where do the employees working at the qualified project reside. And in deciding, it's going to be a 7-person powers authority. 2 will come from Story County, and in this case, it would come from Story County, and 5 would come from the counties which have the majority of the residents. And in the Tesla case, it may well be that Lyon County would have 1 representative, and the other 4 would come basically out of Washoe County. And the thing that's kind of interesting about that is the GOED is required to do this by June 30th of the last year that the abatements exist. And that's it. That's the only time to make the determination as what is the number of residents? How are they apportioned around the areas that are affected? So, for example, if at some point Painted Rock had 20,000 people, all of whom are working at Tesla, that's not going to make any difference because they only make the evaluation as to the apportionment of residents on June 30th of the last year before the abatement expires. So this is a permanent way that the powers authority is going to exist. And it's, in this case, it looks like, well, Washoe County would have a permanent four representatives on the board. Story would have two, and perhaps Lyon would have one. So, and that, again, is there's nothing in the bill that would allow you to change that around at all. It's just June 30th of the last year before the abatement expires, and that's when the termination is made. The another thing that's kind of interesting in this is that the 20% that goes to the state for economic development is going to be administered by the treasurer's office, and the treasurer's office is to the state treasurer's office is to allocate that those monies to the regional powers authorities in proportion to the population represented by each of the regional powers authorities. So at this point, the only one that that would exist is the one for the Tesla abatements. And so that 20% is also going to go to the regional powers authority. It doesn't. This money can be used for economic development, and the regional powers authority will decide how to do that, who's going to get that money. The first 60% is going to be used to mitigate the impacts of the impact of the qualified project on the region of the in the region. So 60% goes to mitigate. Another 20% is going to come for economic development. And I think those are some of the more interesting highlights of the existing bill. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Keith. Austin, was there anything else you wanted to add before I...
I think the only thing I would add at this point, as far as these discussed impacts, and I think everyone's pretty well off the record now that shows, you know, the white paper that we've produced, the executive summary, a lot of the other publications that have come out in a press release I plan on sending out momentarily, is, you know, the data's not suggesting at all that these impacts are happening to Washoe County, Reno, and Sparks. On the contrary, there's significant monies that's indicated in those documents that they're actually benefiting from the Gigafactory families. And I just want to remind us, and we retained RCG Economics, and they're working with EK Economics. We have our own government affairs specialist working as a team to look at these numbers, look at the general fund balances and the growth projections and the data in the two cities and the county next door, as well as our own, doing comparative analyses, and then working with these economists that can do projections and forecasts and retroactive review as well, to kind of see where those numbers are. So at this point, you know, because of that and the deal that was made between the state of Nevada and Story County 10 years ago that said, you guys are going to go 10 years without any tax dollars. You're going to have a government services agreement to, in theory, offset your costs. But there's going to be an investment in your future so you can bring your county into the 21st century and modernize itself to standards of living that exist in our neighboring communities. We believe this would be completely inappropriate at this point. So we are recommending that this board give direction to our team to oppose.
Thank you, Austin. Mr. Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Yeah, I have a few questions, and I want to acknowledge that, you know, the bill is fairly complex, and there's still some things I think that we're kind of working through. On the MBT portion, do we know for sure, is that a 10-year or a 20-year abatement? Are we expecting that to expire now or later? And realizing that the county doesn't receive any portion of MBT, but I believe that it would be included in the calculations if it was to expire. And I thought I saw that it expired in 10 years, but I could be wrong.
I'm going to answer 10 years, unless Keith has something he wants to say. Just this is the Gigafactory. Every one of the abated companies out there that are a billion or more are different. but just speaking of the Gigafactory tenure.
Okay.
And so people know what MBT is, modified business tax that goes to the state of Nevada.
It's a tax on payroll, basically, that goes to the state of Nevada. And so that potentially would be rolled into the whole equation and would be subject to all of these provisions. Do I understand that, as I read the bill, it seemed that for each project that falls under these criteria, there would be a separate joint powers authority created. Is that kind of the consensus as we've read the bill, that there would be one created for each project that was subject to this bill?
That's accurate.
Okay. Were we able to get any clarity on data centers? Because I know that their abatements are treated a little bit differently, but we definitely have at least one and possibly more in our county that have spent at least $1 billion on their project.
I can answer, but it looks like Keith, you go ahead.
You may have more to add, but you know, it's kind of interesting. They're under the $1 billion projects. There is a provision in there that says that if a data center is contributing to the investment, that money will not be considered as part of the $1 billion investment. And that's about all it says. So to me, it's still very unclear as to how the data centers are going to be used. There is no similar provision for the $3.5 billion projects.
Okay, thank you. So at this point, pending clarity on data centers, we know that the Gigafactory would be subject to this. At this point, given the actions that have been taken by GOED, Redwood, when abatements expire, would be subject to this. And then Tesla 2, I guess, would be a separate joint powers authority and subject, because it's a separate package of abatements that would be subject to this as well.
Happy to answer, but I think Keith wants to get
Let me just ahead. Check one thing if I can.
Sure, no problem.
So what it says is not more than one regional powers authority may be established per qualified project. And it doesn't really clarify if Redwood is going to fall within the existing regional powers authority if it's created regarding Tesla or not. That I would say is all it says is not more than one per qualified project.
Per qualified project. Well, I would imagine that with Tesla 2 is a little different situation than Redwood in relation to Tesla 1, but I would imagine since it in theory requires the creation of an additional, what is it called? Economic
development district.
Development district, that it would be considered a separate project. Of course, it's not something we'd have to deal with for 10 years, but still it would be in the pipeline.
I'd like to add, Commissioner Mitchell, too, that for Tesla 1 and Tesla 2, we're still working with GOED on that because it's been approved by the state but not by the county yet. That Tesla 1 had an economic development district that was approved by this board.